this week on Business Therapy, we're inviting James Vanderwalt to the show. James is a 20-year ICU nurse who had a career transition into being a coach on consciousness and conscious business leadership. It's a fascinating story and another fascinating tale of consciousness being at the forefront of having a more productive and healthy life. So please don't miss this exciting conversation we're having with James this week on Business Therapy.
Welcome to Business Therapy, the podcast that explores the intersection of business and mindfulness. In this show, we bring you stories and expert insights on how mindfulness can help you succeed in your career and lead a more fulfilling life. Let's talk about it on Business Therapy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Business Therapy. This is episode 76. Today, we're excited to invite James Vanderwalt onto the show with us. How are you, James?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Absolutely. I'm doing well. As always, I'm your host, Sam Droshack. We also have Jonathan Adams with us.
Hey, everyone.
And today we're going to talk about conscious leadership. But before we get started into the conversation, James, I'd love for you to give us a little bit more about your background and where you're coming from before we hop into your take on conscious leadership.
Yeah. As you said, I'm James from Vanderwalt Coaching. I started the company a couple of years ago after moving to the US, to California, which is wonderful and fantastic. I used to live in the UK. And yeah, that was where I started my career as an ICU nurse. Did that for just over 20 years. And that's where my foundation in conscious living started. I worked very hard. As you all know, ICU nurses do, all nurses do. And it ended up detrimenting my health, where I ended up with a heart condition that forced me to stop nursing and reevaluate my life completely. And it's all about listening to my body, listening to what's happening. And that opened up the whole world of conscious living to me. And to not lose my history of medicine, I decided to retrain as a coach, a life coach, through the health and life coaching company, bringing all my medicine together with coaching to help people. That's my sweet and short background.
Awesome. And that's great. And we love to hear people who have also come to find this conscious living through various life circumstances. I guess as we get into it, what does it mean or what did it mean to you? It sounded like you had kind of some tough spots. Just generally, before we even talk about the leadership aspect, what does it mean to be more conscious? What is that? How did that look through your journey?
Yeah. So, you know, those moments when you get home after work, less probably now because people are working from home so much, but in the days when we used to drive to work and drive home and you get home and you make yourself a cup of tea and then you kind of realize, I don't remember how I got home. So conscious living is about being present, being in the moment, being fully aware what is going on around you. A good example of that is when you can actually recall colors that you saw on a journey. So for me personally, that was when I had to become conscious to what my body was telling me. I was working and I got a lung infection, was admitted to ICU as a patient with pneumonia. And that's when they diagnosed me with sarcoidosis, which is an inflammatory autoimmune disease. So it's very little known about it, but I've come to the conclusion that some of that was started because I wasn't listening to myself. I wasn't listening to my body. And I was just working constantly, eating junk food and, you know, from vending machines and just getting through life, completely unaware of what I was doing to myself. And that's, yeah, that's my journey for conscious living. Yeah.
What are some examples of conscious living translating to healthier outcomes for you?
exercise. Actually being conscious to moving myself physically, walking, going to the gym, whatever works for you. And that whatever works for you is where the conscious living part comes in, because you have to work out what works for your body. What is the thing that motivates you to exercise? And then that's because for some people it's walking, for some people it's cycling. And that's one example. And the other one of conscious living for health and for your body is diet. What do you eat? How do you eat? What do you choose to eat? Because that brings it all together for me is what you put into your body, what you do with your body consciously protects you, heals you, and gives you the foundation to actually do what you need to do to achieve all your goals.
So the consciousness influences the action, but it's not enough just to be present on your drive home, for example. It's what you do as a result of those. It's the activity that you take as a result of that.
Yes, exactly. It's precisely what you say. It's not just good enough to notice the colors or remembering the drive home. It's actually making that choice, that conscious choice to go, I am exercising 5 days a week. I will be eating healthy food as much as I can in good quantities. And that is, so it brings in choice. And which what that then means, it is taking ownership of your life. Consciousness is taking responsibility and taking ownership. And the two works very, very closely together.
I thought you were going to go back to your original line of questioning, Sam. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, you were just on a roll. So we're just talking through the points.
Absolutely. Conversation.
Yeah. In terms of the leadership piece, I guess pair that together. And is this part of your coaching practice? Talk about how this conscious living evolved into conscious leadership and what that means to you.
So as a life transition coach, it is very important to me to bring people into this world of consciousness where there's the ownership and the learning that you bring together. You cannot say, for example, you start a company and you want to lead this company into the next phase. You have to have learned from your past mistakes. You have to have learned from your past experiences and bring that together and own it so that you can consciously teach, consciously lead, and consciously make proactive decisions for what direction you're going in. And that's the basis of my coaching, what I do with clients. So it doesn't matter if it's a health issue, a life issue, or a business issue, because at the end of the day, you have to take ownership of your past, you have to take ownership of your present, you have to take ownership of your future and bring that together and live consciously. Because, well, that is conscious living, taking ownership and responsibility for your life.
For the listeners out there who are thinking, like even taking a step back to the, you know, at the individual level, so they might have been trying to diet, they might have been trying to exercise. What's that key? What's the key differentiator in the conscious part between that and people saying, yeah, I know I need to exercise. Yeah, I know I need to, you know, like do all these things, like help bridge that gap. Because it's not just a switch that says, okay, I'm conscious now. So boom, you know, I'm going to do this. Like what's the journey there that makes it palpably different, you know, when you're conscious?
Yeah, absolutely. It takes time to become conscious. It doesn't, as you say, it doesn't just boom happen overnight. Consciousness is something, it's like waking up in the morning. It takes time. There's a routine to get yourself to optimal practice of the day. So on an individual level, for me, the number one thing that you have to do is find what makes you happy.
Okay.
If it's walking, that makes you happy, walk. So that is the whole thing that motivates people. And because if you just turn up to the gym and the personal trainer goes, do push-ups, but it doesn't make you happy, it doesn't make you believe that this is going to be your lifestyle change, you're not going to do it. You're not going to turn up. And so it is about finding what motivates you. It's about finding what makes you happy. What brings joy to you? What's that moment when you know you have to do something, but you incorporate that thing that brings a smile on your face?
Mm-hmm. And there's got to be a level there, though. How do you respond to people if they don't find any exercise brings them joy, or they find joy for just eating excessive amounts of junk food or things that are bad for them? That's a common, I would feel like that's a common response. How would you respond to that in your model of consciousness?
Yeah. It is about making them conscious of what that belief system is. That's the root of that. You know, there's no joy in exercise, or all my joy comes from junk food. It's about working with them. And that can take, normally takes about 4 or 5 sessions to get to the bottom of what's the belief system that's caused me to not find any joy in this, or to find all my joy in something that's negative. And then working, once they become conscious of that belief system, that's when you can change it. And that's when they can realize, ah, I use junk food because I hate exercise because. So for example, myself, I really struggled to exercise. I completely relied on my 24-hour shifts to keep the weight off. I burned the candle on both sides. I hated going to the gym. And then when I stopped nursing, I couldn't rely on that anymore. I was on huge amounts of steroids, so I just put on loads of weight. And because I've never actually thought about what brings me joy, what motivates me. And it took ages for me to get to a point where I was, okay, I really enjoy walking. And I need to experience water when I'm walking. And I so incorporated that. So all my walks had to have some element of water in it. And then that's when I started waking up to the joy aspect, to the moment of feeling I can do this. Did I answer your question?
Yes. Yeah, it's just the, it's a conversation we have often, and I think this is what people struggle with. So let me articulate it this way. In around consciousness, and we support a lot of more conscious living, but people, they thought if it was just as easy as just being conscious, and I want to do all that, then at that point I would do all the healthy things. I would be aware of all the unhealthy patterns. You know, I would want to be the person that we want to be. I think it'd be a lot easier. And like you said, sometimes you have to dig behind a lot of the behavioral patterns that block consciousness. It's almost like the way you're describing it, and the way I think a lot of people should hear it, is if you're being conscious, you're in a state where you want to do what's naturally right for your body, what's naturally brings you joy. You're just more aligned with the things that align with you as a person and a human being and a citizen of this planet. So a lot of being conscious, then the work sounds like it really is finding what's blocking your consciousness from just manifesting naturally. Would you agree with that?
100%. And it's finding those beliefs systems that's running our lives, because we brought up with a very specific set of belief systems. We need love, safety, and belonging. And that's the basis of all our belief systems. So if you grow up, for example, believing that food is joy, brings people together, celebration, the basis of that is you will always try and find that celebration with the food. If you're in a sad, bad place, life failed, you will bring in food to create that moment of celebration, to lift your mind, to lift your mood. And so it's about becoming conscious of what is that belief system that's driving this negative life cycle, so that you can remove that and replace it with a new belief system that is conscious and contributory to your life instead of taking away.
So sometimes the belief is, though, that the food will make me feel better, or you know, this will help my emotion, and I don't want to deal with something. And ultimately, it's I don't want to deal with whatever I'm not dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, so, and in that regard, they might be successful. You know, in the home. And so the question is, you know, why don't you want to deal with this? What are you so afraid of to deal with whatever emotion is being, you know, mollified by the food?
Yeah.
Do you think that people who, would you recommend somebody try to be conscious if they don't want to be?
There's always something that your brain in your body is ready to be conscious to. If your body and your mind, your heart, your gut is telling you I'm not ready to be conscious to that, I will never force that. I will never force someone to become conscious to something that they're not ready to be conscious to. It is always very important to find that aspect that they are ready, or that topic that they are ready to be conscious of. Because if you follow that route, there is no resistance. because you can then slowly take the process. Our minds and brains, our souls and guts are always trying to protect us, always trying to keep us in a safe place. And if the junk food is working for you, it will make you be happy there and you will stay there until you're ready to move on from that.
Yeah. But when you eat poorly, it just all becomes noise, that amalgamation of symptoms that occur. That's noise. So ultimately it's not making you happy. It's on balance because you're able to ignore all those symptoms in some morass of noise and the complexity of the body, you know, and fool yourself into thinking that there's not a direct relationship in that moment.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
And the brain is great at fooling us because the brain will do whatever it has to protect you, to keep you safe, even if it's a lie.
Yeah. And this might be a bit of more of a nuanced angle, but I'm looking to, from your personal experience, the word even conscious, being more conscious leadership. You talk about your coaching and your therapy, looking at behavioral patterns, which sounds more like almost, you know, you could find a very normal and unconscious therapist saying that, right? And trying to dig out some of the trauma and the things that block us from being healthy and fighting our addiction. So why is it this, for you personally, this idea of conscious living and the word, that word choice, why is that the choice you're using? I guess give us a little bit more about why that's such an important aspect of this versus some other more mechanistic version of trying to heal ourselves.
It saved my life. 100%. I had to start listening to my physical heartbeat. I had arrhythmias. I had chest pains. I couldn't climb a set of stairs. You know, for somebody who worked for 20 years in ICU, didn't have a day off sick, to suddenly have 6 months off sick, it was mind-blowing. So it literally saved my life. And I wanted to stop missing everything. I realized how much I've lost. And I wanted to change that.
So, and that's inspirational, and we always... We love those moments because that's when everyone starts filling their manifesting, you know, ultimately. But so let's say I have this scenario where, okay, you have a client and they say they have something they need to get done at work, and they want help, and you walk in to their office and they're smoking and chowing down on Doritos and, you know, they say, okay, start, you know, like help me. Do you start with the problem that they're presenting you with, or like, what do you do?
If the problem is presented to me verbally, then I will address it. But if they're just smoking, eating tacos and then say, fix my business, I will never address the tacos and the cigarettes. I will ask them so the first question I would ask is, what do you want? Yeah. What do you truly, deeply want? And then they would always give an answer. And then I go, okay, so if you could have that, what else would you want? And then they give you an answer. He goes, okay, so if you can have that, what would having that do for you? And then what would having that do for you?
Now, at this point, they're smoking furiously. Maybe they're adding some
tequila shots. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Packet of 20 done by the first 10 minutes. Yeah. And it's when you get to that, you know, when you do that true root cause analysis, that laser pointing, you get to the answer. And I can tell you now, for a heavy smoker, taco eating businessman, it will not be stopping smoking and it will not be stopping to eat tacos. It will be totally something else. It could be the marriage. It could be a business partner. And then you sort that out. And every time, not necessarily smoking or tacos, but that just falls away. If you get to what they truly, truly want, and they truly understand what they want, and what would that do for them by having that, those extras just fall away. For example, I helped a businessman the other day, and one of his main complaints was indigestion. And he wanted me to coach him through diet and help him get rid of the indigestion. And that's normally what happens when men want me to health coach them. It's very, they're quite happy to approach me for health coaching, but not necessarily for life coaching. To all the men out there listening, I've got your back, but please just admit to yourself that you need life coaching too. Your life is important. Be brave. Yeah. But yeah, so I went and helped him, and we just laid it in what he truly wanted. And what he truly deeply wanted was to have lunch. Just to sit and have lunch. And we fixed it. We coached him through all the routines, all the things that he had to put in place. Never actually talked about the indigestion. And after 2 months of changing his routine, indigestion was gone.
What was the root, like, maybe I'm maybe getting too personal, but like, what was the root cause there? Like, not feeling like he deserved to take lunch, or?
He literally didn't believe he deserved a break. Because if for every minute he took a break, he believed that his business was losing 2 minutes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You can just see the stomach acid eating the stomach. All that stress happening. And so, yeah, that is a huge part of anybody's mindset belief system, is to truly take a moment out of your life and just work out what is it that you really want and what will having that do for you.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned it. I'll just say a quick point. Mentioned indigestion. And when I started becoming more conscious about my eating, like my whole life, I thought I just have indigestion and there's a solution. You take pills and the pills take care of the indigestion. And when that stops working, you switch, you know, to a higher dose or switch to a different, you know, brand or whatever it is. But now at the point, I know exactly what causes indigestion. And then, you know, that's one stage. And then the next stage is, you don't enjoy something that you thought was so enjoyable because you associate the pain with it immediately, and then the problem solved. You know, so like it's never been a problem where I feel deprived from the things that cause me indigestion because it's not how my mind's thinking about it anymore. It's purely that's not something I enjoy, you know, because it doesn't make my body feel good. So, you know, I just mentioned that because there's very practical benefits of going down this path, obviously, we know, but I mean, it's not all deprivation and, you know, you don't get to eat what you want anymore or anything like that.
Not at all. Yeah. It's about finding that joy. It's about finding them, what makes you happy. I mean, I would never tell somebody to stop eating tacos. I mean, they are quite delicious. Just be conscious of when and how much.
Yeah.
And definitely sit and eat. Stop standing and eat.
Well, this is a theme, and I just wanted to point it out, and I like how we've come to it in this conversation with you, James, which is that being conscious is actually almost synonymous with being happy. It's just being knowing what you want and knowing what makes you happy and brings you joy and going after it. And if we pause to think about how many of us are looking to do things to make us happy, and so the pain we cause ourselves in the pursuit of happiness, it's the chase that never needed to happen. All we're telling people is find what makes you happy, and being conscious is just engaging with that activity as much as possible. And I think that heals all the symptoms, it heals all the hurt. And that's it feels like a trick, but it's really what we're talking about here for the most part.
Absolutely. And the big trick there is to not necessarily knowing what makes you happy, because, you know, when you speak to people, they do know what would make them happy. So why are you not doing it? And I don't like that question. A better question is, what will make you actually take action to do what makes you happy? What is stopping you from actually taking action to find the happiness, to actually follow through? And that's where I find people fall or people stop, is because there is then that consciousness becomes to your brain of, I now have to take responsibility for something. I now have to take ownership of something. I have to deal with the fact that my father left when he left, at what age I was. And that's ended up with this emptiness inside that I've been trying to fill with tacos, money, Porsche, Ferrari, whatever, you know. And fill that with something actually that makes you happy, not just trying to fill a void.
Yeah. Well, in a quick maybe turn in direction, but I am interested about your healthcare background because you're a nurse, an ICU nurse, so that's a little more intense than your normal healthcare situation. But generally, after coming to this realization and talking about finding consciousness and that being really the foundation of good health, how does that compare to what you thought about health being a healthcare professional in a more traditional or Western medical setting? Did it have any sort of conflict, or did you find resonance? I mean, what does that look like to you now, your view of the healthcare system you came from, now that you're in a more conscious coaching path?
I wish I knew everything I know now. Back then, it would have changed so much for the families next to the patient who was on life support. It would have changed everything for me, in the sense that, it's very conflicting about what's actually happening in the medical world. As Jonathan mentioned about the tablets, you know, you can just, there's another tablet for this or a bigger dose for this. And there's not necessarily those moments of where somebody goes and asks you, what is actually going on? What do you want? Where are you going with this? What's making you do this? And a lot of this work that I do now with conscious living, and I would love for public health to actually look into all of that and start educating society as a whole about becoming conscious of what you do, because that is more preventative medicine rather than action medicine. A lot of the medical world is so overwhelmed, is so busy, so many people needing so much care, which every single one of us are more than happy to do. I just think that a lot of people don't necessarily have to get to the point where they go to hospital. It could have been stopped a long time before that. I just finished reading the book Breath. And wow, as an ICU nurse, I thought I knew everything about breathing. You know, ventilators, positive pressure, negative pressure. And then suddenly to realize actually breathing is so much more than that. So much more intensely easy to do free of charge, at home, and how it can change your life. Wake up your bowel so you can have better digestion. Wake up your brain so you can think clearer, expanding your lungs and happy hormones. And it's all free of charge. It's all available. For people to use. I'm on a rampage there. Sorry.
No, not at all.
There's a doctor, I forgot who, that his practice is based on that oxygenation is life. Like, so some focus on anti-inflammation. Some, like, there's a lot of, you know, I think great approaches out there now, but one is just anything that increases oxygenation is, you know, is the path that he's, you know, his medical theory comes out of.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all about using the oxygen. There's more than enough oxygen in our bodies, but we don't actually necessarily utilize it. You know, by increasing carbon dioxide levels, you know, you can go into the whole science of it. You need carbon dioxide to unlock oxygen from the red blood cells. So you can actually use it. Amazing stuff out there to actually help people move.
Well, and it is related. I mean, the breathing thing is, you know, you got there because it's one tool and a tool set of many things that a conscious person can have to work with their body, to understand how to be healthy, to understand how to be happy. And I think the Western medical system, especially coming from your background as you describe it, it almost sounds like it's more in alignment with Doritos, tacos, with, you know, other forms of unhealthy habits, in a way where instead of being sick and looking for what is going on within us, we go to the hospital to get treated. And not ICU patients, obviously that's a whole different category. But like you said, people go to the medicine for the panacea, the cure for all their worries, when really a lot of us are empowered. I think consciousness brings the awareness that we control a lot of our own health, not only our own mind state, but our own physical health, working with our gut, working with our heart, and really trying to manifest what we need to be healthy is a thing that is not taught. And I think, like you said, it's a big miss.
Absolutely. And that's two things that is very important to understand is there's the consciousness of healing our bodies by healthy eating, by exercise, by mindset, by looking after ourselves that way. That's one aspect. The second one is to also take responsibility for when you do need to go to the doctor, you need to go. There are so many people out there that just don't believe on, I'm too scared of them, or what will they do to me? Please take responsibility.
Or I might find out something. Yeah, I might find out something bad. So it's better not to go.
But deal with it. Because then you can move forward. And why are you holding yourself back when there's perfectly amazing signs out there that can save you, that can fix you, that can help you? But then also the other aspect about being conscious and practicing preventative medicine, breathing properly, exercising, diet, etc.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of secrets to the balance, I feel like, that a lot of people feel are inaccessible to them. And you've shared a lot of them today. And the number one is just being conscious, being aware and seeing where it leads you, being conscious of what you want, but also what you don't want, and just being in touch with your body. I'm sure it's been really impressive to hear how your life evolved into that direction. And, you know, on this show, we find a lot of people ending here, starting in a lot of different places. A lot of people end here, which is the same thing, which is becoming a conscious human is becoming a more productive, healthy, and happy human. And it doesn't matter how it's applied. So we appreciate you coming onto the show and sharing your journey. I'm going to challenge you. I usually have been telling guests just what are your last thoughts, but we're changing the show to be a bit more action-oriented. So if you could give one call to action to our audience, I'm going to put you on the spot. What would your one call to action be?
Find out what will help you become conscious. You can't just become conscious. You can't just go and exercise. Find out what will open your mind, what will help you take responsibility for your life and help you to own it so you can live boldly.
That's great. Thank you. And if anyone wants to connect with you, do you have any closing words on how people can get in touch if they're looking for coaching or they're looking for your kind of brand of conscious leadership?
Yeah, you can look at vanderweltcoaching.com. That's my website. I'm all over Instagram. Vanderwald Coaching as well on Instagram. That's the two main places. Direct message me. My email's on there as well. And I'd love to connect and we can have a chat.
Awesome. James, thank you again for coming on the show. It was a real pleasure speaking with you. And for those of you tuning in, thanks for joining Business Therapy, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Jonathan.